Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into Urban Conversation Radio. This is your host, Liguel Marie, and I'm waiting for my co-host, Manuel Hill, to actually get patched in, so we're going to hopefully have him linked in here in a moment. You know, we always have issues with Blog Talk Radio, so... and it's so crazy because a lot of their glitches don't show up until actually, like, literally when you're on air. And, like, I'm looking at my audio clips and, like, half of them are not showing up. But hold on 1 second. I think I have my co-host now. I think I have Manuel Hill on the air late. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm here now. I'm here. Okay. A little late.
It's all good. I have, I was just saying that there's already glitches happening, and but we should be, like, pretty much used to it, I guess, because something always happens. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I see you guys calling in, so I appreciate that. I appreciate the inbox messages that I've gotten so far tonight. Make sure if you have any questions or feedback that you inbox me on my Facebook page, Liguel Marie. Don't go to Urban Conversation, that page, and send your comments and feedback. Go to my personal page, Liguel Marie. You guys don't, for some reason, you don't like sending your questions to Manuel, so we still haven't figured out why. I don't think he really cares, but I guess you guys just, I don't know, I guess I'm like the mom figure or something. I don't know. I guess they feel more comfortable.
Do you get questions for me? Like, if you don't get questions for me, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, you know.
Well, what's interesting is I was actually, because I try to convert whatever questions I get in my inbox onto my my book, because the lights are really low, and it kind of helps that I'm not kind of going back and forth in my inbox. But anyway, I said all that to say I was looking over, it was a show that you, I don't remember why, but you missed it. And we had, like, a gang of feedback. And there was a lot of stuff that people said about you, actually. And I was looking over some of that. It was good stuff. It was like, we got a lot of, it was a show that I basically set aside specifically to get feedback and comments from the listeners. So we spent, like, a good portion of the show, and I was just reading, you know, comments and stuff that people had to say. So I don't think you, I don't know if you ever even listened to that show. You might want to. I'm
trying. Where was I? Who knows? I don't think I heard that one. You'd have to tag me to it so I can listen to it.
You know what? I'll have to try to do that, but I'm trying to remember, like, what was the actual topic on that show. And I'm trying to, if I can find some of them, I'll read them. We have a couple tonight, and I'm sure before the end of this show, We'll have some more. But no, they like you. They like you. They like you. What was that? There was an old commercial.
The girl with the little girl. We want more. We want more. We like it. We want more. That's what that one is. Yeah, that's
okay.
All women for you. That's all women. Yeah, that's how y'all are. Y'all always want more. Y'all never satisfied. We like it, so
what?
We want more. We want more. That's how y'all are.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about women.
What?
Y'all, women,
what was that
listen, women are
are you having women trouble? Like, what was that? Women who are you stupid?
No, women always want more. It doesn't matter what it is. Y'all want us to be more funny. Y'all want us to be more honest. Y'all want us to be more sensual, more affectionate, more sexual. Y'all always want more. Y'all ain't never satisfied. We want more. We want more. We like it, so
oh
we want more. That's women. Yeah.
Manuel, you sound a little like you having some
a bitter I've had some problems in my life. Yeah.
You having some issues there.
here and there.
You need a hug, you need a head rub or something. What do you need?
It's gonna take more than that.
Oh. What do you need?
I'm getting like y'all now. We want more. I'm gonna get on y'all's level.
What do you need more of?
Everything. What the heck kind of question is that? Everything.
I don't know.
You gotta let your imagination wander. Everything.
You need more of everything. Okay.
Absolutely. Every single thing.
Oh, well, maybe it's not that. Maybe you need to get with the right type of women, and you won't have those issues. That could possibly be it.
You said women. You made that plural. Why does it have to be women?
Oh, I don't. I don't know. What are you drinking tonight? You seem very. I'm trying to think of the right word before I say it.
I've had a little bit. I've had a little bit, you know. I'm a little under the influence.
Okay. What are you drinking tonight? What have you been drinking?
Margarita. Yeah.
Okay, something different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, to all of our listeners, definitely send some positive vibes because my co-host, he is just. Like he is on one, so this topic and this discussion should be pretty interesting. We're talking about monogamy. Is this an outdated concept, or is it a necessary foundation for relationships? So, you guys can definitely weigh in at any time, and then as we get into the topic, I will. Read some of your questions and so forth. But there's a couple of things happening in the news. I know that you've seen Lamar, how do you say his name? Odom.
Right.
He, crazy, from what I'm reading, and for those of you who've not heard the story, he was unfortunately rushed to the hospital. He was at a brothel and was found unconscious. And so there was several reports going on throughout this past week. Some of them were saying that he was brain dead, which we found is not true. Apparently he has awakened from being in a coma and he's being responsive, even doing a little bit of talking. So really, really crazy how his whole situation spiraled. And, you know, of course, a lot of people are trying to blame the Kardashian, you know, it's like, they're, you know, basically feel like the Kardashians have this curse on men and they run them. But Lamar, you know, he's had issues with drugs and he's gone through a lot of suffering in his life, which is really, 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 really sad. But hopefully him being so close to death, this will be something that turns that around for him. So.
Right.
Prayers and positive energy for him. Also, you know, they had the Million Man March. I believe it was the 20th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 20 years since the first one?
I can, but man, it does not seem that long ago. It really does not, because I mean, all the documentaries and the movies and everything else that have came out afterwards have seemed to only come out in the last, you know, 10 or so years. So it really doesn't seem that long ago with everything that has come out after it. You know, we've got so many reminders. It seems a lot more recent than 20 years. 20 years, that's been a good time.
Yeah, I was really surprised that it had been 20 years. I tuned in. I was, I listened in, I should say, or I guess I could say I tuned in, but I caught a good portion of it. And, you know, Farrakhan, you know, I don't know, a few times he is in his 80s, and, you know, a few times he just seemed like, I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. Like he would start stories and, you know, start talking about something, and then he would never finish. So it was just like, yeah.
Are you saying Mr. Farrakhan has got to that point where he's a little bit more senile than what he should be? Is that what it is?
I don't want anybody like putting a hit on me. You know, his followers are pretty fanatical, so don't be putting that in my mouth. I'm just saying he's getting up there in age. He said some really great things. You know, he brought a lot of attention to the whole basically the sex trade, where they're kidnapping women and putting them, you know, forcing them into prostitution. So he shed a lot of light on that, which was great. And you know, overall, I thought it was a positive thing, just like I thought the first one was. Of course, you have the naysayers and people who, you know, want to say a bunch of negative things. Because, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how great it is, you're always going to have somebody that, you know.
Right. And he has a lot of – and when you talk stateside, you know, he has a – it's a big divide. I mean, it's literally 50-50 when you're talking about Louis Farrakhan, you know. You definitely have, you definitely have half of which, you know, go along with him, and the other half of which have nothing to do with him, and it's really a big deal.
Yeah, he definitely has haters. An equal amount of people love him, and you've got a lot of people.
Right. I mean, I'm indifferent. I always have been. I've always thought that he's had a lot of good things to say. I've always thought he's, you know, had strong positions in the black community, and everything else. But at the same time, it seems like he doesn't always get the respect he deserves because of the differences in his religious views and everything else. Like, that's the part where people, they can't look beyond that and just say, you know what, okay, you know, he makes good points. He has good views for us and get beyond that. So it's always been interesting to see. I mean, I've always looked at him as, hey, I don't necessarily have to agree with everything, but when the man makes a good point and when he has a valid point or a strong stance, you know, why not give that credit?
Right, and I just got a message from Mike. Mike, you tune in. I'm starting to see your name a lot. But he said his problem with – okay, let me just read. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, his problem with Farrakhan is where is all of this money that they received going? Money. The love of money. I don't know where all of the money is going, Mike. But to say, you know, that they're misappropriating the funds, I know you have to have some proof of that as well. And then you have to think, it's always going to be those speculations that, you know, they're doing something shady with money. And the truth of it is like so many organizations do underhanded stuff with funds. And I'm not going to attribute that to just Farrakhan, but I don't know, Mike. Why don't you research that and then tell me what you find? Because I don't have the answer to that. If that's your issue, start your own movement. I just think, instead of people complaining about what they did wrong, be a part of the change. If you're just sitting on the sidelines complaining and pointing out everything that's wrong, yeah. I'm not saying you, Mike, so don't inbox me and go off. I'm just saying a lot of people who aren't doing anything seem to always be the ones that have so much negativity to say. So, anywho, so we're talking, we're going to get into this topic because for some reason this is a sore spot. Like, people are really kind of crazy about this particular topic. So we're talking about monogamy. Is it an outdated concept or is it a necessary foundation for relationships? I know what my thoughts are, but I'm going to let you kind of dive into that, Manuel. Is it an
Oh
outdated
man.
concept?
I don't think it's an outdated concept. What I do think is that we have more concepts that are coming into play and that are becoming more popular that seem to allow people to say, okay, I don't have to just be that. I can choose in between this or that. That's what's going on now. So you have, polygamy, that's nothing new, but you have polyamory, you have open relationships, you have all these things now that are giving people more avenues to go down, as opposed to the same old school, monogamy, which is, one man, one woman, and then that is all it is to say about it. But the most interesting thing is that even though people have been saying for I don't know how long that they've been practicing monogamy, how many have honestly been practicing monogamy? Like, they've been saying they've been practicing monogamy, while at the same time, we know Paul, Grandma, Auntie, and all of them, they were doing what they were doing back then. The difference is things are more popular and more wide open now with all social media and everything else that, we discussed the side chick, the other woman, the other man, the extramarital affairs, and the three-way relationships. Whereas in the past, it was just kind of written off as that's the way a man is and that's what a man is going to do. And even though it wasn't, it was kind of accepted and tolerated when women were in a position to where they couldn't do much about it. In this day and age, it just doesn't work like that. The woman isn't just sitting at home waiting on the man to come home and do everything while he's been visiting the mistress and everything else. So the concepts have been more opened now because the secrecy is no longer there. You can't live the secret and just get away with it, and nobody's going to keep the secret for you. So I think that's what's going on. I don't think that means monogamy isn't real for those who believe in it. I just think there are more things out there now that people are willing to explore openly as opposed to in secrecy.
So, okay. All right. That makes, I mean, yeah. I think it's easier. It's definitely easier to cheat in this age of social media and just technology. So I think.
Because now you have just think about it. I mean, with the whole hacking of Ashley Madison, that was a site devoted solely for the purpose of people who sought, extramarital affairs. Back in the day, you kind of had to look a certain way, be a certain way, and I guess kind of be sneaky about it. Now there's all this access to it. You can go find it. I mean, of course, a man could always buy a prostitute back in the day. I'm not saying that that wasn't available, but we're talking about full-blown extramarital affairs where you can find somebody who's looking for the same thing you are in a more discreet fashion. Like, that availability just wasn't there at the push of a button, like it was before.
Yeah, and
So I
that's what
think
I'm
that, I
saying
mean, that,
because
right.
yeah, you it's more accessible and and more acceptable as well. But everything,
Right.
comes full circle. If we look at it from a historic point of view, being, a man, having multiple wives is not anything new, even having mistresses.
Right.
And so the concept of all of that is definitely not new, but it was definitely more centered on for the men's pleasure. it wasn't as acceptable for women historically to have, women were getting killed for that. So,
right.
But I think for me, I think it's, it's such, this world is so crazy now, and everything goes pretty much whatever you want to define as your truth. It's kind of like that's what's acceptable. So if you feel like you want to have two wives and also marry your dog, we're coming into that age where it's like whatever
right.
is good for you, is acceptable. So it's like the moral code is being degraded more and more as the years go by. So, people are kind of relinquishing any type of spiritual centeredness, and it's like a free for all. So we're kind of going back into, I think, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Like it's like anything goes. Like it doesn't matter what you're born as; you could just become what you want
to
become. And yeah.
Well, one of the things, and this is a tad bit more of an objective point of view. We have to always remember that morality is based on the standards of a group, or what's accepted morality. Here in the United States,
that's not always a bad thing. That's not always a bad thing.
I'm definitely not saying it is. Sometimes it's the better thing, or it's the best thing. But what's moral to us in the Western Hemisphere, and what's moral to those in the Eastern Hemisphere, the extremes are quite, they're just different. I mean,
yeah.
What one group just looks at as the rite of passage for their young men that are going through puberty, and what another group looks at as a rite of passage, the extremes can be drastic. I remember just reading not long ago about, in Southeast Asia and Cambodia, where, they just look at gang rape as part of what young men were going through. So if you have a daughter in Southeast Asia, And that's almost a curse, because you have a fear that your daughter walks out of that door any day, or your wife and your sister and your mother walks out of that door, and the chances of them being gang raped, because the majority of men, they just find that as sport. There's no moral discernment when it comes to that. And so in the United States, we look at something as we look at statutory rape as being deplorable, whereas they look at gang rape as being just part of a life. And so, that's where those lines get so blurred, depending on, especially when we get the mixing of cultures. And we know that America, or the United States, is a big old melting pot of all these different cultures and all these different standards, to where it's just
I don't mean to cut you off, but here's I'm going to take this out of, I'm not going to go biblical or anything like that. I'm just going to go straight to I think a code that if we were to sort of give like a universal voice to that is anything that's being forced upon another person,
right.
anything that is removing someone else's free will, whether, like you said, rape, it's not something
right.
that there should be a debate about. So it's like if it's by force, which rape is, then
right,
it's
right,
wrong.
Right.
When you're forcing young girls to go through procedures that is mutilating their anatomy, and this is because culturally this is something that some decided decades prior that this is what we're going to do. Anything by force. To me, there's no question about it. So if I can't
right,
agree,
I agree
upon it, then, it's wrong. But if we're, you know, and that goes into, you know, children, acts that are done against children that are not of an age to be able to say, I want this, I don't want this, then that's wrong, you know, because
right,
they're
I
children.
Absolutely agree. Right.
But getting back to, you know, if it's something that's agreed upon, I won't, you know, I can only say for me and for what I believe, you know, I believe in monogamy. I believe that it's a necessary foundation for any relationship that I'm in, but I'm also not going to push that on other adults. Now, mind you, I said adults because you're an adult. You can do what you want to do with your life. But anyone outside of that, then, you know, if it's a kid, like I said, then, you know, of course we have to intervene because we are supposed to protect our children. But, you know, adults is kind of like, you know, you got to do what works for you. And I can only give you the answers that I have and give you what my beliefs are. But at the end of the day,
right,
I'm not going to force, you know, because, you know, like you said, some people, you know, they're, like a lot of marriages, you know, they're like under the guise, like, yeah, we're faithful and, you know, because we're married and blah, blah, blah. But they're like doing stuff. And to me, that's
right,
a waste of, you know, that's just a waste. Like, don't be married and, you know, lying to each other. You know, if you're, you know, if you have an open marriage and that's what you do and both people are down with it, then, you know, whatever.
Right. Then that's what right. I think one of the things that is hurting monogamy is there's this preconceived notion that monogamy is synonymous with monotony. Like it's often preconceived that monogamy is supposed to be boring. When you get married, all the fun stuff goes away. There's no more enjoyment. You settle into these doldrums of boredom, and that's what you have to accept once you settle down with one person. And so a lot of people, they pass that on to their associates and friends. You know, it's a joke. You know, when you get ready to get married, they say, oh, you're giving up, or oh, you got the ball and chain now. You know, life is going downhill for you now. And I think that's, you know, it's not just a joke. It's actually a reality for some people when they go in there. And so when they go into marriage or when they go into committed relationships, they go into them considering that the fun is over. And that's part of the problem. That's why a lot of people kind of fear monogamy, because they have this assumption that, okay, the fun is over. It's no longer going to be enjoyable for me because now I have this one person. Even just recently, a guy made a comment. He said monogamy is like having cable television with only one channel. You know, it's a good analogy, you know, because you got cable television and it's assumed that cable is the best. But then you only got one channel. You know what I'm saying? So
How much vagina do you guys need? It's kind of like,
you know what?
All of the craziness and all of the drama that is women, like, how much vagina does one man need to get
into? You want me to tell you?
Find you a good quality vagina and
it don't matter. No. It's not about the quality of vagina. You know what the saying is? Ain't no pussy better than new pussy. There's no pussy better than new pussy. That's the saying. So, now, I don't agree with that, but if that's the saying,
but you know what?
Terrible.
You know what? For men who subscribe to that,
right?
God bless you. And you know what? I'm not even mad at you. Like, if that's to me, that, you know, I won't even, that's like, to me, just an immature thing, but I get it. I would, you know, I have a son and I'm just like, you know, like, I don't want him like just jumping around in random new vagina, because all new vagina isn't good vagina. it's like, you know what, like, let me tell my baby, my son, like, check this out. And you know, mom always kicks it real to you, like, just because that vagina is new to you don't mean that the vagina is new. So, kind of,
no,
like,
but see, that's the thing. Well, see, that's the thing.
The newness ran through and red.
Right. No, and see, that's the point. The point is that it's new to the person. You know, not that it's new, not that it's not been ran through. It's just that the chase is because I ain't had this particular one before, and that oftentimes wrecks the mind of men, young men, thinking that, okay, I always got to have something new coming through that front door, or I always got to have something new. And there are men who believe that all the way up until their late ages, and that's just what they live by. It's just, it's not just a cliche to some. It's actually a lifestyle to some. Shit,
and
might have been a lifestyle. Probably was a lifestyle to Lamar Odom.
It could have been, and I'm not judging you, because hey, if that's how you roll, then you gotta be jumping off into random coochie, like I said, I pray for those of you who are like that. But I wanted to backtrack, because you were saying a lot of men, and it seems to be more men who kind of have that feeling like once you get married, like everything goes, just sour, and it's just like boring. And
right.
there is definitely truth to this, because women can be so trifling, and because when they're on the chase, when they are presenting themselves to get that man to commit, they're pulling out all stops, and they're
right.
they're doing whatever they need to do, and this is why some women just don't like me, but I don't care. I have a son, and I need him to be up on game. And I'm always like telling him, the little cues to kind of watch out for, and you can kind of, and I'm joking partly, but I'm partly not joking, because I know how some, and I'm saying some because it's not all women, I'm saying some women can be just trifling like that. And like I've said it before, I tell my son, before you get serious with a woman, you have to, sneak up on a weekend where she doesn't expect you. And, look at if her feet are done, in those cold months, when it gets cold and everybody's, not wearing their open-toed sandals and they're only wearing boots. I'm like, check out the toes in those cold months, because if she's not keeping her feet looking right when it's cold and nobody can see them but her, she's just fronting. Like, you don't want someone, that's just doing stuff to get a man's attention. You want a woman who is taking care of herself and who is really about that life because she's about it. And that goes into if the woman is just trying to get that ring and to get you to marry her. And then as soon as you marry her, all the little sexy stuff goes out the window. She doesn't care what she looks like. To you, she's not trying to, to be sexy. It is true. I mean, I've had people, tell me the story. So I know that it's true, and so I feel for you brothers, but you have to do your checks. You got to do that check and balance, like find out what she's about before you, try to make her your wife. And then you think she's still going to be swinging from those chandeliers. Like, nah, bruh.
Well, you know what? I think there has been a change. I think the change that needs to take place is that women have to actually preserve something, before that, monogamous leap. If you're showing it all, you're showing your best. Then what does that mean? That means okay, I have nothing to look forward to. But if you're kind of preserving just something, then it's like okay, we haven't done it all, and we're not doing it all. There's something left with that long-term commitment.
Are we talking sexually? Are we talking about sex or how she's presenting herself?
Yeah, no, sexually. Sexually, not necessarily how you're presenting yourself, because how you're presenting yourself, that's habit. That's day in, day out.
That's what I was going to say.
But, when we're talking about the exhibition, the sex, and the intimacy, preserve something. Because that way the person knows that, okay, once it's locked down, it doesn't get worse, it's going to get better, because I haven't seen the best. So that's the part where is with monogamy, you're thinking everything is downhill, but you can actually create the situation where is, oh no, it gets better after this, and that's where there's some sort of preservation. Now, of course, we know the stigma when it comes to sisters. I mean, it's like,
what's the stigma that comes with sisters?
Oh, God. Do I got to go
what?
There?
What is
stigma?
It?
The stigma with
what?
Sisters, the stigma is that black women are less sexually explorative
then, and I had to say, you know, our direct counterparts being our Caucasians. So, you know, a lot of times brothers are thinking, okay, well, you know, if the sister ain't going to do it, I'm going to get a white girl that will. You know, that's the
thought
process.
Is that true?
Hell yeah, it's true. I'm not making this up. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I mean,
you're saying that
you agree that the sisters
are... No, I'm not agreeing. I'm not. Well, okay, to a degree, I agree. Oh, this is going to sound so bad, but I don't care.
You don't care about it sounding bad.
No, I don't. They do come off as they're easier, so to speak. You know, there's less work you have to put in. And so brothers oftentimes don't want to deal with the struggle that comes with dealing with sisters. So they'll kind of go deal with some of, you know, I don't got to go put in this work to deal with a white girl. I only got to put in this work to deal with a sister. So there's that stigma that comes along with it. And it just is what it is. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. If I was making it up, then I'm pretty sure.
No, I think I've heard it before. So I've heard that said before about black women. So, interesting. So in your dealing with all of your sexual exploits, have you found that's a true thing? Like, have you found that black women are less sexually expressive, are willing to whatever? That's like a whole other topic, but now that you open
it actually is, but I would say no. I do think that with black women, you have to put in a little bit more work. I do think so. I don't think they just bust it wide open. Everything wide open. Everything. I don't think that. So, like, in my experience, you just have to put in a little bit more work with the sisters. Like, that's my experience. Now, I'm going to say this. If we have any of my, you know, fellow white brethren that are listening and sitting there opposing this, that's fine. And I'm pretty sure they have their own experiences that counter what I'm saying. But I'm talking about the impressions that the young black brothers have when it comes to white girls, that the white girls are doing what the sisters want. That is just what it is. There's no argument there. That is the conclusion that we've jumped to since high school. Like, that's nothing new. But so from my experience, it is kind of true that the sisters do hold back a little more than, you know, our Caucasian counterparts. This is what it is.
Okay.
And for me personally, it's not a bad thing. For me personally, that's a good thing, because I wouldn't want to settle with a woman that's just busted wide open for every single dude that's come along in their life. Like, you know, she don't know no new tricks, and you can't show her nothing new, and y'all can't have no new experiences, because every single person that she's come across has just been all over the place. Come on now, that's not cool.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think you should. Yeah, women should definitely not be busting it wide open for everybody. That's just so funny when I say that. Bust it wide open. That just sounds so wrong on so many levels. But, okay, well, so we've kind of covered why it seems to be so easy for, you know, people to cheat. I think just in this day and age, of, you know, the internet and, you know, all these different dating sites and just normal social media sites, you know, where you have access to more people, you know, from all over and so forth. It just makes it, definitely makes it easier. But don't you, you know, I think that you have to have that in you anyway. I wouldn't blame social media. I think it's easier and it's more accessible. But if someone wants to cheat on their wife or their husband, you know, they're going to find a way to do it.
Right. People are going to do what they're going to do. Just because something is easier, that just gives you, you know, quicker access to it. If people make their mind up that they're going to do something, they're going to do it.
Right. And I have a friend of mine. I don't know if he's tuning in. Robert, if you are tuning in, what's up? But he's actually, you know, his whole belief system is the poly lifestyle. And he feels
polyamorous,
like...
Polyamorous or polygamous?
I never can say the word right. So the first one that you said,
polyamorous.
He doesn't believe
in
monogamy at all. He feels like it's unnatural. I'm sorry?
It is unnatural, but I think that's the beauty of monogamy, because for some it is unnatural and the sacrifices makes it beautiful. Anything that you have to sacrifice. So if I am not naturally a monogamous man, if I do have these desires to venture out and be with other women, but I'm sacrificing those desires and I'm practicing discipline and I'm giving myself to one woman, that's the beauty in monogamy, the sacrifice. The polyamorous lifestyle allows you to just kind of be free and love freely and explore freely, and there's less reins and it's more explorative, and that sounds fun, but where's the sacrifice?
Well, yeah, he tried to get me. He said
I
should be in that lifestyle.
No,
we've had very in-depth conversations about it.
So what do you think? So you think you can have a man and another man and then the man have a girlfriend and the girlfriend have a boyfriend, because that's how deep it goes. It literally I'm in a group.
Trust me, I know he's in it for many years and No. No.
I told you about their life.
I don't know why you... Then you don't know me. I thought you knew me. Wait, I guess you don't.
I thought I did too, but you seemed a little excited. You seemed a little giddy when it came. Oh, you weren't excited? You just sounded.
I'm not excited. No. For me. Oh, my God. For me... I prefer monogamy. That's just me. To me, I'm more comfortable and I'm more centered in who I am spiritually and soulfully when it's just a monogamous relationship. I love to be like in love with one man and have him just, you know, own me, and I'm good with that. Like, I don't need
ownership.
Yeah, I'm totally into that.
Describe
ownership.
Describe that part, the ownership. What is it? Break that down for the young listeners. For the listeners who ain't supposed to be up listening to the show, break that down for them real quick.
Wait a second.
No, don't pause. You said it.
We're gonna go into some questions. So just one second.
you just dive down real quick.
All right, so I'm trying to get some of these questions in. I started reading a couple of them earlier and didn't get to finish, but I wrote a couple of them down. Kian, I guess that's how she says her name. I'm not sure. I give that disclaimer every time, so if it's a different type of name, if I'm saying it wrong, please forgive me. I think it's pronounced Kian. It's Y-A-U-G-H-N, so I don't... That's Kian, right? K-E-Y-A-U-G-H-N.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay, she said, y'all are so funny. I love Urban, and I'm going to call in one of these days. Manuel be having me cracking up with his crazy self. I love you guys. Thank you.
Awesome feedback.
He is crazy, but we love you too. Okay, here's one from Warren. This is actually why This is why I paused right there, because your question reminded me of this one. I have written this one down. Warren, so if you're listening, reading your question or comment, he said, Miguel, you're beautiful and so sweet. I listen when I can, and I enjoy the show. You seem very bashful when you talk about sex.
Yep.
I cracked up when I read this. Like, what are you talking about? He said, you seem very bashful when you talk about sex. So tell me, what's the craziest thing you've done? Better yet, what's the nastiest thing you'd be willing to do? Warren, that's just TMI. I don't even know. First of all, let's clear this up.
How are you gonna ask the question and then I answer the question?
I'm gonna answer. I'm just saying that's like TMI. Okay, but I'm not bashful about sex. I think it may translate like that because Manuel makes me laugh, or something that you guys comment make me laugh. But I'm pretty open.
Good.
What?
No,
what
was
that?
Go ahead.
Oh, that was kind of freaky. it's like someone screaming. So I'm not bashful. And so you asked what's the craziest thing I've done. I've not really done anything crazy, so I'm not even going to front. Why? Is the first of all.
Wait. What about to you? See, another person's definition of crazy and your definition of crazy could be different. So I guess the best way. See, these people need to have me, and they need to send me these questions and then have me
please,
rephrase them to
please,
you.
Please. Right. They're going to send you the question. You still have to read their question. I'm reading it just like they asked.
I will flip it around so we can get some answers out of you, because we know you slick. You're a politician
when
it comes to answering these questions.
I'm trying to answer the question.
I would be like, what is the in your mind, what is the craziest thing that you've done? See, because crazy has, like we have to say, like, for yourself, what is the thing that, you know, took you more out of your element than anything else?
I don't think I really have. I don't think that I really have done anything too crazy. Not yet.
Really?
I haven't done anything too crazy. And then I don't like the term nasty. I prefer erotic, or, you know, something
what about that? You haven't had that, like just a wild, I guess, a wild experience that, like that. The people want to hear you go inside yourself and tell about one of your experiences.
I don't know what the people want to hear that. I think Warren
want.
Just wants
Warren wants to hear that. You got to give Warren what he wants.
Let me think. Oh my God, Mom! If my mom ever heard this, she would never listen to this late at night. Let me think. I'm trying to think. What have I done? I don't think I'm really. You know what? It's not that I'm not open to that. I just haven't really done anything that even I would say was crazy. I think I've just done like the basic stuff. Like, I was like outside, like on the hood of the car.
There you go. Don't just tiptoe around it.
I mean, that was pretty much it.
Was there damage left to the vehicle? Did somebody need to make an insurance claim when they came out? Was it a random vehicle? Was it a vehicle of the person, or was it a stranger's vehicle? See, there's levels
to
this.
No, it was his vehicle. Very nice vehicle. I won't say what kind of vehicle. It was a luxury car, of course. And
did he have the pop out?
Did he have what?
Did a dent need to be popped out? Was there damage to the vehicle? Like, was it like, dang, we got to get this fixed later?
Oh, no.
Information.
There was no damage to the vehicle.
Damn.
So no, there was no dents or anything like that. So yeah. Thanks, Warren, for putting me on the spot like that. And
good job.
The last part was, what's the nastiest thing I'd be willing to do? Nasty? I don't know. Again, I don't like that word, but
I like that word.
You do? Okay.
Hell yeah.
I am pretty open to do pretty much anything that the man that I'm in love with wants me to do.
Now, did you hear what you just said?
I am still saying what I'm saying. So
I kind of mean to interrupt just a little bit, because
okay.
What you just said is the point that I was making earlier. You kind of, you know, you said with the man that I'm in love with,
mm-hmm.
You're not willing to bust it wide open just for it. You see what I'm saying?
No. Well, but you already know that about me.
I
thought.
Wait a minute.
You don't know that?
Uh-oh. Now I do.
Oh, you just now know? You just now found that out, Manuel? Really?
Yeah.
Really? We're gonna play that. You guys, okay.
That's new information.
That's not new information. I can't even believe you're saying that. And I've said that before on the show.
Yeah, you have.
You're so messed. I guess we're playing stranger now. Like, you're gonna act like
No, I'm messing with you.
So we're me and Manuel are strangers now. So whatever. but if that's the way he wants to do it. But yeah. So anyway, Warren, pretty much whatever goes without, you know, adding animals and you know, random people and so forth. But yeah, when
the
I say
objects are okay,
and it would depend.
Mm. Oh God, that's exciting.
It would depend when I say ownership, that is essentially what I'm saying. Like, I believe that, like, wholeheartedly. Like, that's a part of the whole connection and arousal for me is, and that's why, you know, of course, just having that one man is so important, because, you know, I'm giving all aspects of myself, you know, I'm completely being open to that person. And I can't do that with just some random person or even multiple people, because, like, to be that open, you know, that's covering all aspects of who Miguel is. So if he has ownership,
that's the beauty of monogamy right there.
Mm-hmm.
What you just basically broke down, that's the beauty in the sacrifice. That's the beauty in the sacrifice of monogamy, where you say it's natural for somebody else to sacrifice that. Obviously, let's just say there's a man and he has your heart or you have his or whatever, and he might be a little less than on the monogamous side with you. That's his reward, you know. So there's a beauty in the sacrifice of that, whereas with all these random women out here, you know, yeah, you're having fun, but, you know, she's been everybody's, you know, woman, whereas when you sacrifice and you decide to take that monogamous step with this one woman, there's a beauty in that. There's something that's sacred. There's something that's prized in that, you know. And to each his own. I'm not saying that everybody has to subscribe to it, but that's my idea behind it. You know, there's a beauty in that sacrifice.
I think it is beautiful. I mean, you can, you know, because love is, you know, is self-sacrificing, and it's, you know, when you really want to experience it on a higher level and the truest level. You know, those are aspects that, you know, you need for that foundation. And there'll be people that say that you can, you know, experience that with multiple people, But you know, but I don't think that you can. I don't think that it was not at that most beautiful and purest level. I don't think you can.
Right. I don't think so either. I think you're split, and if you're split, how can you? You know, cells can divide, and once cell divides, it's not as strong. Like I just don't believe when you seriously, like on an organic biological level, something is stronger once it's whole. Once you split it, then it becomes weaker in its form. So it's like, yeah, you can do that, but it's not what it would be if it was just one whole. And I just don't agree with that. I mean, and
hold
I know
on,
I can't
and,
do it. So
yeah, and Ghost said. Warren wants to know if you ever had a man get freaky with you with some silly string while wearing avatar shades in an oven mitt. What?
What? Silly string, avatar shades in an oven mitt? That's pretty dope.
You guys are sick. Okay, we have one more. This is from Thornton. Miss Legale, I want to know how I can... Okay, I'm sorry, I can't really see. Hold on. He said, Miss Legale, I want to know how can a man like me get a woman like you? What do I need to do to get your attention and your heart? Mm. I'm serious. I want you. I don't know. No. Thornton, you don't even know me.
Why do you want to hate? No, do not hate on Thornton. Do not hate. How dare you?
You said you want
Thornton,
but
you don't know me. Inbox me. Inbox me,
Thornton.
Thornton,
if you're listening.
Keys. Inbox me, and I'm going to give you the keys to success. Inbox me, Thornton. I know her. I'm going to tell you exactly what you got to do, brother. Yeah.
Are you trying to put me off on Thornton?
Put you off? Wait. That would imply.
You said you have the keys.
But I'm saying you said put him off. That would imply that you over here. Like what's going on with that? I'm trying to help my man Thorn out. He's the first person that has been absolutely direct in what like that's really direct and bold. I respect that.
Yeah, that's great. And Thornton, don't listen to Manuel. I am the only one who holds the keys to how to get to me. And I don't know how to really – well, here, you said a woman like me. So like me, I would say approach her with honesty. And having a sense of humor is always a good thing, knowing your purpose and direction in life. I have a very, very good attention span if someone keeps my attention. But once my attention is lost, it's hard to get it back. So, I love intellectual men. I think I've said all this stuff before. So you need to like listen to the show more, Thornton. And,
right. You have given up.
Because I feel like someone's asked me something similar. So I don't want to be redundant and repetitive, but I'm just trying to answer your question. And all clowning aside, thank you for, you know, that's a compliment. But yeah, just but I don't know you, so you can't have me. But if I did know you, and I was in that position where I could give my heart to someone, then that would be the best approach. Like I do appreciate you being forward. I love a man who is masculine and direct and without being cocky. And I don't know. That's pretty much all I can say. Thank you, but yeah. Thank you for the compliment. You're a good-looking man, if that's you in your profile picture. You're an attractive man, so I'm sure you don't have a problem getting whoever. All right. So, yeah, and Thornton, you can also definitely inbox Manuel. He seems to feel like he has information that could help you, so.
I absolutely do.
What information do you have for him?
That is none of your business. Don't even worry about that. That's for the callers to call me. And I mean, when they inbox
me, if it's about me, why can't we just say it on air? We have a few more minutes. You can't just say it.
Because see, if I give you that information, then you're gonna know that I have an upper hand. And I never need you to know that I have the upper hand. I need you to think that I don't know, because I might. Who knows? I might need that information at some point in time for myself. You just never know how things turn out in life. I can't just give you the inside information. Mm-mm.
Well, you said you had inside information about me that you could give him. So I'm saying, what is that information? You don't.
That's between me and me.
Well, no, that's not. This is a live show. This is.
That's none of your business. That is none of your business. I will tell
if
you.
It's
that,
a, you're so mean tonight. I wanted to say that. Like, you're.
No, I'm not.
I don't know what's going
on. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, though, that, the inside information that I have, I can't share that. I can't give you that. Nah.
I mean, here's my thing. Like, if I told a listener that I have the keys to give them on how they could get you, wouldn't, and then you said, well, what is it? I mean, don't you have a right to know what I would do? I'm answering the question live,
Okay. You don't have a right to know, but you do have the right to inquire, and it would be your privilege to know what information I'd be willing to give out.
I can't. Yeah. You won't even give me the privilege of telling me?
That's between me and Thornton.
You don't even know Thornton. I don't even know.
That's my boy. That's my boy right there.
Is that someone you know for real?
No, but I'm to hit my inbox. Let me check my inbox real quick, see what Thornton's
talking about. Oh, my goodness. I would say, Thornton, stay away from that, because I don't know what Manuel would be trying to tell you. But he knows he can't have me. My heart is already...
Thornton knows it?
My heart is already taken, so I can't pass out my heart to multiple men. So
Well, Thornton, I would share that with him, like, seriously, real talk, all jokes aside, all fun aside, that, you know, from what I know and what I understand, that is the case. Like, you know, if she's giving herself away and to somebody else, yeah, you kind of don't really have much of a chance. So, you know, anything that I would probably pass off to him would more likely be if you were actually available. So, and that's none of your business. He'd have to pay me. That's valuable information.
Now you're trying to. It's not anything to pay. It's like my heart is only beating for one man, so yeah, that's how it is. But if that changes, Thornton, I'll definitely inbox you. ladies, you give your heart to some man and he just doesn't know how to appreciate it, you got to take it back and give it to somebody who's going to, you know, appreciate it, do what they're supposed to do.
Is that what you plan on doing?
I said if.
is that the move, are you on the precipice of such a movement? Like, is that what's going down over there?
No, I think he loves me.
Oh, you think? I think
he loves me.
I know
that he loves me.
Okay, good. Okay, if you know, then yeah, he's in a good place. You're in a good place, Thornton. I would just say, chill out for a moment, you know. But if she
for a moment,
again, hey, yeah.
I'm gonna be clear.
If I was Thornton, no, seriously, if I was Thornton, and I was that serious, I would just wait it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, resilience is a very powerful thing. I mean, don't be disrespectful. You know, if the woman says it is what it is, you respect that. However, the one thing I've said to all men and women is that somebody's always willing to take your position. So, you know, whereas I'm not saying that we're competing because we're not. We're only competing with ourselves. But all he's waiting on is the dude who has your heart to slip up so he can slide right on in there. Like, there's always a man or woman waiting for that person.
Yeah, there's no sliding right in there. It doesn't work like that.
No, right. But, there is work.
But,
like,
Thornton,
I don't want to make it seem as if slide in there like it's just easy to just show up. But, you know, if there's a genuine interest in a person, I mean, you don't want to hope for them to fail. But if it doesn't work out, I'm pretty sure you got some dudes lined up that are like, hey, you know, so what's good? You know, I have no one lined up.
I don't even understand that.
Right now, okay, we're not going to go there. We're not going to allow you to play as if. Come on, we ain't going to play that.
Wait, we have one time for one last question. Brian said, there's the saying that women always keep a standby in the wings. Do you both
absolutely
see any truth
do
to it? No,
hell yeah.
I don't. No.
Yeah, you don't keep one, but there always is one.
Well, if I don't keep you, then you don't. It doesn't exist for me. I'm sure that there's women who do, but no.
There's always one on standby. Always.
No. For some women, probably, but not for. I don't have any standby men.
You don't think you have? Wait. You don't think you got a dude on standby? I'm not saying you're keeping him there. You think you don't got a dude on standby?
I don't think I have anybody on standby like that. I don't.
Man, you're out of your damn mind. Whatever.
Why are you so aggressive tonight?
I'm just being real. Women always have a dude on standby. I'm not
so all women have someone on standby?
Every single woman on the planet Earth has a dude on standby. Now, I'm not saying that they're keeping him on standby, but there is a dude that is standing by the side waiting for that opportunity to present itself and for you to put yourself out there. Every single woman has that. Every single woman.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I bet. That sounded so convincing. I didn't know that.
I don't think every woman has a standby. I don't know about all of that. Like that, what are you saying? I mean, okay, let's clarify standby. Standby is just because there's always another man that likes you. Is that what constitutes a standby? Because there's some man out there that likes you. Is that what it is?
No. There's the guy that is willing to put in the work. You know, there's a guy that wants to be.
Well, I'm going to open up my inbox for that, because if there's any men that are listening to the show tonight and you're one of my standbys, I'd like to know because I don't know you exist right now. So inbox me and let me know. So, Brian, there's your answer, ghost town. Manuel thinks that every woman does, and I don't think every woman does. So,
what?
So are you like someone standby? Because if every woman has a standby, that means every man is some woman's standby. Is there some woman that you're waiting for?
Not every man is some woman's standby. Just every woman has a man that's a standby. Even if they don't know it. Even if you're unaware.
Okay, well, I want to be aware. I need to know these things. So...
Well, there's no way to know who the guy is that's standing by unless
they can inbox me, like, right?
Okay, do that. Be bold. Tell the guy that's the standby, the guys that are the standbys, to inbox you. matter of fact, we do the show like this. For the guys that are the standbys, inbox me. And then on the next show, I won't put your name out there. I'll just whatever message you have, for our host, I will simply say stand by number one,
no
boom.
We don't
stand
want
by
no
number two, boom. Stand by number three, boom. Since you want to deny it, since you want to deny it, you know, since you want to deny it, then that's the way we're going to do the show.
People don't like to inbox you.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Anybody, because I'm the nice host. I think that's what
it is. Maybe that's what it is.
I think because I'm the nice one. So, but, you know, Manuel, he's nice too. He hasn't been too nice to me tonight, but he's, I guess. I think that drink, you probably need to go back to your regular drink. The margarita.
The margarita had me a little bit on edge.
Yeah, I think the margarita probably is not the best one for you. So, but yeah, it's funny because we're about to end the show and it's lighting up that more people are calling in. I don't know why you guys are calling in when we're about to end it. But what's your final thoughts on what was the topic again? Monogamy.
My final thought is that I do believe in the sacrifice of it. I know I joke a lot about, you know, being all over the place and just being this person that's just reckless and has no care. But the sacrifice that it comes with, I think that's what makes it, you know, the ultimate goal. You know, I mean, I know it's not necessarily natural for everyone. I know it's not as easy for everyone. But, you know, if you are a man or a woman out here and you don't find monogamy that easy, but, you know, you have that loved one that does believe in monogamy and you're in love with that person, the sacrifice for that person, the sacrifice to be monogamous, that's very powerful to me.
I concur. And I think, for me, definitely monogamy is a necessary foundation. I just don't. I don't see myself as being able to split my emotional center with, my romantic emotional center with multiple people, because, you know, like I said, I'm giving, you know, giving them access to all aspects of me in that regard. So to give that type of access to multiple people just seems like it would be really, really draining to me. So that is my take on it, and thank you guys for listening. And I was trying to find, hold on 1 second, we got one more, Manuel. Okay, I'm looking at the thing. We're going to be changing our day from Sunday night to Wednesday night, so we're going to be making that transition, so make sure you stay linked up with us on Urban Conversation Radio, or you can find us Urban Conversation on Blog Talk as well. And the time and date, we'll be posting that so that you guys can make sure you transition with us as well. And I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. Thank you, Manuel, even though you aren't as nice tonight. You might need to go meditate or something.
Right. Maybe it's past my bedtime or something. That's probably what it is.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. When you find out, let me know, because you kind of made me sad. But thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure that you join the conversation on next weekend, and we'll talk to you then. Take care.